the Drown Rat Studios. You're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast, coming to you from everywhere and nowhere. Tipping the scales of justice with untold stories of American families. And now, Justice Speaks Up.
Justice Speaks Up is not a standard format podcast. You are listening to unscripted phone interviews for the purpose of documenting an ongoing open source human rights investigation into federally funded child abduction via collaboration between the U.S. Family Court and Child Protective Services. This often includes constructive parent and child estrangement on behalf of these agencies. This project is tracking the untold stories of U.S. families and conducting statistical research on behalf of this civil society in order to create solutions to a very important branch of the U.S. justice system that is statistically failing families and children. It's violating due process, violating constitutional violations, domestic terrorism, unlawful intimidation and surveillance of U.S. citizens. It's also conducting violations of the Violence Against Women Act by refusing to acknowledge the crimes committed against them in family court and in CPS custody cases. They're falsifying information in a federal, not all the time, but sometimes it's rare when it happens, but they're falsifying information in federal individual education programs for special needs children, forcibly medicating minors. Lying and falsification of evidence is often at play. They're often violating American Disabilities Act, human rights violations, and due to these failures, they are contributing to U.S. poverty levels, homelessness, mental health dilemmas, addiction, and all of these are a detriment to the entrepreneur and small business community by crushing many of these parents who own and many now are not operating startups. If you know any families that have been that may meet the criteria for this study, please have them email their participation request via the contact form on our website at justicespeaksup.us. Justice Speaks Up is also seeking to interview candidates who are running for government office, and we would love to discuss any areas in regards to their platform for reforming these entities and advocating for children and their families. In turn, we are also seeking anyone currently in these political seats to reach out to Justice Speaks Up via the same contact form to offer your input into this research study and to lend insight into for your constituents so that they can get answers. They've been left in the dark for many decades seeking answers to the areas that we are researching. Justice Speaks Up is conducting this research as a means to create a peaceful, long-lasting solution between U.S. families and these entities because we identify this as a U.S. crisis. I am requesting that listeners use their best judgment and not allow children under 18 to be present when you listen to these interviews.
Hi, I'm Archer Sierra, and thank you for joining Justice Speaks Up. Today, we are back in the game with Toriano Knuckleburger out of Lancaster, California, which is L.A. County. Toriano, thank you for joining us.
Yes, how are you doing?
Excellent. So you and I have a little bit of background in common. You're from the entertainment background, yes?
Yes, I am. I used to be a restaurant and a restaurant before my daughter was taken.
Now, when you say taken, explain a little bit about what happened to your daughter.
Well, I like to use the word kidnapped, but since I dropped my daughter off and then she took off with my daughter, they have maybe changed the word to taken, but I use the word kidnapped. My daughter was visiting in Lancaster with my aunt who worked in the local Lancaster government. Her name is Shirley Black, and she disappeared with my daughter. So, for me, any parent using the word, I use the word kidnapped. You know, if you take a kid to a daycare, and then the daycare person disappears with your daughter, a parent is going to say that they kidnapped
you. Very true.
Yeah, you know, but they told me, how could she be kidnapped when I dropped her off? So I use the word taken now.
So let's go back a little bit. What happened with you and your daughter is you were living temporarily in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you were a full-time entrepreneur. You owned a restaurant in Lancaster, California, and your daughter was homeschooled and would regularly visit various family members while you traveled as an entrepreneur and businessman, yes?
Yes. I lived in both places, in Las Vegas and in Lancaster. I commuted back and forth. And my business, like you said, my restaurant was in Lancaster. So it was nothing for my daughter to come to California whenever. Because she was homeschooled, she could travel back and forth as she wanted to.
So what year did you end up leaving your daughter in the care of your aunt, Shirley Black?
This was 2013. It was March 18th is when I dropped her off.
Okay, and when did you return for her and realize that your aunt was not going to give her back to you?
It was in May, but between March and May, I had been out several times visiting her. I would come pick her up and take her to downtown LA and hung out and get all kinds of stuff, but because I was a single parent,
Now, let's go over a little bit of background on your aunt a little bit so people can understand who it was that now had your daughter in May and was not going to give her back.
Okay. My aunt was the director of the Stroke Health Center that operated inside of the Lancaster Courthouse. So, like, if you wanted to divorce your wife or if you wanted to go through a custody battle, she was the director of the people that helped you fill out the paperwork yourself without hiring an attorney.
And
she had been the director for 12 years, sorry.
And that was under the guidance of the mayor's office?
Yes, yes. Her boss was directly the mayor. His name is R. Rex Perry.
And is he still the mayor there? Okay, that's a long appointment.
Yes, it is. He also owns a legal firm out here that only does two people. So anytime I've ever tried to bring them to a reporter or bring a story out, he threatens to sue them, and they know his reputation, and they disappear.
Well, that's interesting. So should we be talking about this story? No, I'm just kidding.
Like I said, he's doing people for a living, but I have all the paperwork, so there's nothing that, you know, makes people run.
Well, okay, so let's get back to your daughter real quick. Okay, so you come back in May of 2013 to collect your daughter, and what does your aunt say to you?
Actually, what she did was, turned my bail off, had my bail held in Las Vegas, and this is according to court documents. She had my bail held in Las Vegas, and then she went and found the custody of my daughter and forced my daughter to say that I had to break with my daughter.
Now, bail. Wait, hold on, because explain the bail issue.
The mail? She called the post office in Las Vegas and told him I was on vacation and to hold my bail.
Oh, I thought you said bail. Mail. Okay, I got it. So basically she interfered with the U.S. postal system and basically kept you out of the loop by preventing you from receiving your mail.
Yes.
Okay.
So I didn't know any of this was going on until my mail lady, her and I kind of had a rapport, just seeing her every day. And she came and knocked on my door, said, "Hey, I don't know if you know this, but somebody held your mail, and I think you should have this letter." I opened up this letter, and it says that my daughter's been raped for years, and that Shirley now has custody of my daughter.
Wow. Okay, so you're in Vegas when you get this, and I'm assuming you hike to Lancaster to go get your daughter or ask questions, right?
Yes, I did. But before I got out to Lancaster, I made the mistake of threatening Shirley at a pure emotional outburst on Facebook. So my friends are like, hey, what the hell are you doing? Well, it's fine to kill. I mean, you know, my daughter, it's fine to kill. I did do that, you know? And then I went out to the next children's hearing, and I was arrested for threatening Facebook.
Because she's works in a government capacity, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And what was the charge that you were charged with, and how much time did you do for that?
I did, the charge is criminal threat, and altogether I did 19 months, but they overturned the case after. They found her sexually assaulting my daughter.
Well, hold on. Go back, though. Let's go to the criminal threat charge, okay? So how much time were you given for the criminal threat?
I took an 8-year joint suspension, which means they let me out, but they held 8 years over my head. Like, if I got in any trouble, it would be my trouble plus the 8 years.
Okay, and then how much time did you actually, did you do any incarceration time for that?
Yes.
How much?
I did, 19 months fighting.
Okay.
I did 6 months at first. Let me kind of explain, because it's a little confusing. I did 6 months at first, and then I took the joint suspension, and they let me out. And then when I sued them, they violated my joint suspension and took me for 8 years.
Okay, so let's slow down a little bit, okay? Because I know the story and you know the story, but let's make this make sense for everybody else that's listening. So you get a criminal threat charge, you're sentenced to 8 years, you do 6 months of that 8 years, you fight it from the inside, you appeal the decision, right?
Yes, no, it took me 6 months until they had the trial. They gave me no bail. So to be 6 months in county jail fighting to the trial. I went to trial and I received a hung jury for threatening my daughter's kidnapping. 11 to 1 hung jury. One person said guilty. They snuck a rigger in there somehow. And once that happened, then the DA said that he was going to refile the charges unless I plead to the joint suspension. I took the joint suspension so I could get out. But let me back just a little bit. 3 months of me going back and forth to court, any trial and stuff, and I'm in the county jail fighting, I received a letter from the DCFS that says that my aunt got caught sexually assaulting my daughter. They had to move my daughter and put her in a foster home. So then we have the trial. So when we have the trial, the judge doesn't allow my daughter to testify or me to mention anything because everything was unanimous. Over in the custody court. So, in the dependency court, everything was sealed. So, in the criminal side of it, me threatening her, I couldn't mention anything about the sexual assault, anything about my daughter being in a foster home, any of that. I just had to deal with me threatening her. So, I received my own jury, and then they tell me they're going to refile against you unless you plead guilty and take the 8-year joint suspension, which I took so I can get out. Then when I got out, I sued them, and when I sued them, they violated the 8 years and threw me back in prison.
And that's when you did another 13 months and fought it pro se. While you were there, it took you 13 months of fighting from the inside, wrongfully incarcerated, and you were able to fight that, win an appeal, and they let you out.
Yes, and then they released me again, yes.
Now, when did they release you?
They released me 2015 Christmas night.
So
December 25th, Christmas night of 2015.
And you get out. And what do you do to go find your child at this point?
Then I contacted the DCFS again. I started a online campaign of trying to bring awareness to my state. And my family is out here is pretty known for in the religious field. You know, we're very big in the church. So I started contacting family members and saying, hey, I have all this paperwork and said that she did that. But my aunt is also in the same religion. So everybody kind of sided with her. And then plus, by that time, by December 25th, 2015, I had lost my restaurant, my home, my car, everything. So I was literally sleeping on my friend's couch.
So pretty much crushed your small business and your, at that time, blossoming music producing career, yes?
Yes.
And so what have you been able to rebuild your restaurant or your music production company?
In that time, just now, I'm starting to re-emerge. Just right now, this coming up month, I'm going to start doing the farmers markets and restart selling the burgers and stuff and getting back into the music business. But until then, I was literally like from friend's couch to friend's couch with no money. You know, just friends were helping me.
Well, it's always good to have friends, isn't it?
Yes.
So there's one very important thing that I want to point out here is when you've been searching for your daughter and DCFS claims they don't know where she's at in the system. She's lost in the system, right?
Yes, yes. They do say that she's lost in the system. And I didn't get into that because this DCFS agency, a week after my daughter was taken, a little boy in the same city of Diego Fernandez died at the hands of four of the agents. Those four agents went to prison for the same agents who ran after DCFS. Those four agents went to prison. So that agency is like a hot button in the national news story, you know? So they did everything they can not to allow my story out.
Too late now.
Yeah, well, it's too late now because I kept fighting back. But that's what they did. And like I said, the agent that worked by my case did things like falsify reports, which they talked about openly. They falsified a nurse's report. The nurse, Myrna Rodriguez, wrote a report that my daughter was being raped. And then 2 days after that, a forensic doctor, Dr. Tixon, examined my daughter and said she was perfectly normal. And he was floored after he examined her. Because she was physically normal. So that nurse was allowed to resign, and she's now in Bakersfield at another hospital and still making $8,000 a year.
So this is a big problem, Toriano, that all these cases have that, I mean, the forensic nurses, regular nurses, people attending to these children, people who are in charge of coming in and testifying to qualify the test results of, forensic rape kits of child victims, all of them, everybody just covers it up. And these people are allowed to go elsewhere. And it, to me, it's because they want to keep these professionals that are willing to lie and under oath, they want to keep them somewhere close. You know what I mean? They defer them to another county that they can go and then be called upon at any time to cover up evidence. That's the way it appears.
Oh, yes, definitely. Last year, I contacted the Antelope Valley Hospital. And showed them all the reports from the forensic doctor, and they were going through their own nurses' strikes and everything. And I said, well, and I was trying to look for Myra Rodriguez, who wrote the false reports. And the hospital told me that they might be willing to settle with me, and they sent me a claim for them, and said, file a claim with them, or might be willing to settle with you. So, just, you know, come out and let me see. So I came up with them
Well, the good news is that Justice Speaks Up is going to include you in the class action lawsuit we're compiling for attorneys. And we've also partnered with a nationwide publication which focuses on expunging wrongful convictions and assist you in filing the proper lawsuits against the appropriate people, and we'll evaluate your case.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so far. When I stood in the city of Manchester, attorneys that I used were also the same in the little boy's death from that same agency, John Nolan and Roy Huntsman. And those attorneys were referred to me by the mayor of the city. So when I got out of prison that first time, after this, I contacted this mayor. That's pretty little bit old. Confused everything so much that it's even hard for me to tell what happened. They did that on purpose. But when I got after the slumps, I called the mayor and I said, hey, one of your employees kidnapped and sexually assaulted my daughter. And then the mayor said, okay, well, we have a case going, what was going on between the attorneys. So I hired their names, John Nolan and Roy Huntsman. They filed my lawsuit, but they let the agency that I was suing the Lancaster Sheriff's Department because the paperwork, the Special Victims Unit, the unit office, but she told my aunt to her face, hey, I don't think the little girl is the saboteur, and I think you're forcing the little girl to say this stuff about her father. And then after she did that, she let my daughter leave with my aunt to be molested more.
So you believe do you believe your aunts harmed other children?
During child abuse with her own, so I think that was more of a physical.
But she had changed her name multiple times before becoming an employee of the mayor's office and had a history of child abuse on a record under another name, right?
She had changed her name. They had about 8 names for her. It turned out that her daughter was okay, and they really started looking into her. They found out that she used about 8 names and about 6 or 7 different social numbers when they did the lifespan. They found out she had a history of child abuse. And the only thing that happened, she still walked around the city.
Wow, so kudos to that background check for government offices, right?
I know. Atlanta's like the one worst town, you know? It's the last city, and it's not that big of a town. A lot of stuff gets... And they're just running away.
That's just unbelievable. So, basically, we have to get popping on your case right away and find out where your child is. And this is a problem that some of these kids are disappearing, Toriano, in the system. And I don't understand how you just lose a child when you're supposed to be getting a monthly stipend to provide for that child while in care. Now, are you under a child support obligation for this child that's missing in the system?
I guess if they contact me with child support, they have to let me know where my daughter is. So they have it. Well, we're coming at the end to the dependency hearing. She lived in Texas at the time. It's just that she did a parking lot where she lived. So, like I said, they never investigated that. They told me, we don't know where your daughter is. So, I believe something happened inside of the foster care system.
Oh, well, without a doubt. I mean, we're starting to show cases where kids are not able to be located. But, I mean, are they actually missing, or is this the DCS, CPS, okay? Is this them just trying to buy time? But either way, at this point, you were wrongfully incarcerated. You have been separated from your child that was clearly abducted to you. The evidence is presented that you should have your child with you, and you going to DCFS or CPS and them saying, sorry, we can't find her, that's not an answer. So how the hell did this forensic evidence, well, we all know how it flew by because the courts were involved with it and your attorneys clearly are in the breed of attorneys that are throwing these cases and they were acting in the best interest of the mayor's office, not you, correct? So where's your aunt now? Is she still working in the mayor's office? Is she incarcerated for it?
No, she was suspended. My sister's staying there and just walking around town. So I don't know where she's at, but she's free walking around town.
But not an employee any longer of the mayor's office?
No. When I looked her up online, she was suspended.
She was where?
She was suspended.
Interesting. Suspended but not terminated.
No, but not terminated. So I don't know if she has her job back. I've been to that self-help center many, many times looking for her when I was I just went there to see if she was there, and she hasn't been there.
So how, let me be blunt. How can JSU help you? What are you wanting from us? What is the result you're looking for? I'm sorry, but child abduction does not have a 1-year statute of limitations, and that's what this is. And it's also a violation of the U.S. Patriot Act, which is a mandatory 25-year sentence. So if anybody's trying to listen to this from those offices and you think you're going to push that 12-month term, you can just say that's not going to stick because we're going to reform this and all rules are off when it comes to these kids. It's broken. Everybody knows it's broken. Everybody knows it's not working. Everybody knows these offices are abusing their power and dragging it out as long as they can so it turns out in their favor. So no, none of the rules that are currently existing will be satisfactory. When we put this reform bill together, everything has to be redone. This is broken. It's not working. There's children being separated. There's children being abducted. There's children being abused. It's just not okay. It's just not okay. And that's what this project is about, Toriano, is saying what is currently in place is broken. Take your rules, stick them where the sun don't shine. These kids need to be returned to their families, point blank.
Yes. That is beautiful. That is so beautiful because, like I said, they're trying to make you to a set of rules that they're not sticking to. I would love to see see my aunt go to jail because she broke the law. You know, she's older. She's probably 65 around in there. She broke the law. It's not my fault, you know? So, you know, members of my family are not happy that I go online and expose this and expose her all the time, but she broke the law. She has to listen to the law. The mayor, I feel like there's a conflict of interest for him to refer me to attorney that messed my lawsuit up on purpose.
Oh, but let's, well, hold up, hold up. Let's call that for what it was. You already had the answer. There was a current case going on. They were under federal investigation. Your case would have just been the cherry on the cake of the day. They weren't going to have it. And by referring you to attorneys that they knew would throw the case, they knew they could squash it. And it was up the way they did that. And somewhere there's a daughter out there looking for her father. And there's a father looking for her his daughter. And that's what this is about, is family reunification. These families torn apart by court corruption need to be reunified.
Yes. I also have emails. My daughter, when she was at my aunt's house, was sneaking my aunt's phone and sending me emails letting me know what's going on. And I have those emails from my daughter. Like I said, the way you're talking was the way that I was talking at first. But dealing with these attorneys and dealing with trying to express my case, they made me lighten up my speech. Everything that you're saying is how I feel. That is the honest to God truth. And, you know, from dealing with this for so long, things made me back up on my speech. But believe me, I promise you, that is how I feel. I feel like people should go to jail. People should be thrown out of office because they broke the law. And a little girl was hurt because of me.
Well, that's what they do. It's a legal tactic. Draw it out as long as you can, financially, emotionally, spiritually crush the person to where they'll stop fighting. The child's gone long enough that they give up hope of their parent coming back for them. And that's what they do. They just hope that you'll go away. And guess what? No going away. I mean, what a bold, arrogant thing to say, that you really think parents are going to walk away just because you had the power of government behind you to pull some dirty deeds. That's not the way it works. Our justice system is sacred, period. And it's people like that have broken it. There's still good people doing good work. So our hope is that we will remove these people from our justice system and offer up a reform bill and eliminate this abduction of children.
Yes, yes, and like I said, even outside of my case, now that this has happened to me, I'm an advocate to turn me into one. But yeah, that's exactly what they do, like I said about the kidnapping word. They literally made me stop saying that my daughter was kidnapped because I dropped her off over there, and then she kidnapped her.
Well, because they don't want you to say kidnap, because that comes with a increased statute of limitations, and they want you to stick to what they have control over, which is a year, okay? But when you start talking about no statute of limitations, everybody gets a little scared, because that eliminates their control of pushing their agenda and their timeline. They lose control. Like most things, when the truth is exposed, right? When the truth is exposed, the criminals lose control.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like the nurse that wrote the false report should go to jail. She wrote a report saying my daughter was raped, and it was fake. And her colleague, a forensic doctor, said that it was fake. You know, so she should, it caused all this. It caused the state of California to take custody from me and give it to my aunt, that fake false nurse's report.
The legal term, Toriano, is called being an accessory to a crime.
You're correct.
Call it for what it is. You're not confused. The answers are clearly right in front of you. You know exactly what it is, but people have browbeaten you into using heavy terms such as the truthful term, which is accessory to a crime, because they hold a government title. Nobody cares. Criminal's a criminal. I could be a billionaire. Guess what? If I'm found guilty, I'm not going to buy myself out of jail time. If you're a government officer and commit crime, you go to jail. Money and government title should not prevent you from being held accountable for your crimes.
That is the truth. That is how I felt the whole time. And you're right. You know, they have beaten me into these softer terms. You are absolutely correct. You know? and all the attorneys, I contacted 100 attorneys, I contacted 100 reporters, and every time it's the same thing, you know? So you're absolutely correct. I'm so glad that we wound up connected because you have that same fighting spirit that I have, you know? And I think that my case is so egregious that I feel like this is a case to expose it. I mean, you're beating the Lancaster, there's going to be people going to jail. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to cheer. You know, their conviction is going to be my victory.
Well, as it should for any victim of crime, because what do you want? You want the criminals that have harmed your family to be held accountable. It's the responsibility of our justice system to get that for the victims of crime. But when the criminals are the people who are in charge of your justice system, this is why this is broken. This is why there's damaged families. This is why we're doing this podcast. This is why we're talking about this. Because, like you said, everybody, they go to the journalists, they go to the news outlets, and there was a media blackout on this. I mean, it was just time to put this out on the airwaves and tell the untold stories of American families, that this is in your backyard, it's in your front yard, it's at your work, it's at your school, it's at your church, it's everywhere around you. Take the blinders off and look at what is going on. This isn't happening in some third world country. This is happening right here.
I also contacted the FBI. I recorded myself calling the FBI. After arguing with them for about 30 minutes, they finally took a report and then never contacted me back again. So I told them everything. I said I have all the paperwork to show that my daughter was kidnapped by Brady, and they literally never contacted me back again. I've called the FBI multiple times. And like I said, I started recording myself calling these people.
Do you still have all your recordings?
Yes, I do. I posted them all online.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to do. I mean, obviously, we talked about you having the desire to come on as a JSU advocate. I think it's great because I really want people to understand that, you know, there's small business owners and there's people in entertainment that this is affecting. And really, I have a lot of friends in entertainment, and a lot of them have children, and I want them to understand that often these people are using ridiculous things against you. Like, it's kind of like just throw as much defense as you can and see what sticks. And what happened to you is happening to many entertainers, which is they were using your art against you, which it really falls under first. That's a First Amendment violation, right? Freedom of speech.
Because I have a song I can do, I Batman, where I'm wearing Jason Bat and a Batman tank top. And in my trial, when the jurors being let in, on the picture, they put the picture of me wearing Jason Bat and her Batman tank top, and underneath it says guilty. And they let the jury see this, and this is for a music video.
Were you pro se, or did you have an attorney? So you didn't know to object to that, right?
Yeah, well, I did object to it, but the judge let the jury see.
Wow. No good judge in their right mind would have allowed that.
Yeah, the judge also didn't tell me that first 6 months that I was in jail, the judge allowed me to believe that my daughter was raped for 4 years. I thought it was my mom, because my mom was my daughter's own school teacher. So I get a letter saying that my daughter's been raped for 4 years. I don't know, so after I plead guilty, that's in the paperwork that sent over to me. After I plead guilty, then the judge said, oh yeah, your daughter wasn't raped, and the doctor said that she was fine. But then when I get back over to custody court, they say, no, your daughter was raped. It's just been crazy. I promise you, a lot of the information I still don't have.
Okay, now hold on a second. Hold on. I'm sorry. This is that same thread I talk about. Any parent who's listening to this, how is this not mental torture, domestic terrorism, to incarcerate a parent on bogus charges, sit there for, I mean, an endured amount of time, allowing a person to believe your daughter's raped, she's not raped, she's raped, she's not raped. I don't know. Who is it? Nobody knows, but you're sitting in jail. This is terrorism. This is domestic terrorism at the hands of our justice system. Not the good people, but the corrupt individuals in our justice system that are doing this. This is absolutely falling under the criteria of domestic terrorism. I mean, did you feel like you were being terrorized?
Let me tell you something, man. Just as we talk right now, you're about to make emotions pop out. I don't even want to start crying on you, but that is what they've been doing. Your daughter's raped, no, she's not raped. If she's raped and you did it, no, she's raped as an aunt did. No, she's raped and she's not raped. Now we lost her. That is exactly what they did. That is exactly what they did, to tell you the honest about truth. I don't even know. I just got a letter from the DCFS that said there was allegations that my aunt was sexually assaulting her, but I don't even know because I was about to speak to my daughter. There hasn't been a fair trial with all parties involved. That hasn't happened. The final dependency court, they started making me stand outside of the court. They had a trial for my cousin, my daughter was outside of the court. It's just been that. It's been domestic terrorism. That is what it's been. That is the perfect word. You know, that's what it's been.
Yeah.
She's raped, she's not raped. She's raped, she's not raped. That's what they've been doing.
And it continues because you still don't know where your daughter's at. So let's move forward here a little bit, okay? When was the last time you had any answer from DCFS as to the whereabouts of your daughter?
It was January 22nd, 2013. That was the last time. They had a trial that was going on. The judge would not allow me into the courtroom, so me and witnesses stood outside of the courtroom while the trial was going on, because I started going pro per, when you go pro se, they call it self care pro per, they had to give you all the paperwork, and they didn't want to give me the paperwork. So that's when she just shut me up.
Do you still have your parental rights?
It said no further contact. I had to go down. She said, leave the court building. So I went down to the court to get the minute order, and it said no further contact with the father. But why?
But that's a no contact. Hold on. Hold on, Toriano. That's a no contact order. But did you ever receive paperwork saying your parental rights had been severed?
Oh, no, no. You know what? They told me that there's no custody order. There is no custody order.
Okay, so there's a chance that you still have parental rights to your daughter, and this whole thing is botched. So at this point, tomorrow, Toriano, you and I are getting on a conference call with our new nationwide partner, okay, our publication partner, which we are yet to announce who that is yet. But I'm going to get you on the phone with them, and we're going to hand over your evidence to them. They're going to be providing primary investigative services to assist the law firms, basically to lend me additional investigative services. That's the honest truth. There's too many cases to compile. It's causing a delay in getting our interviews out, and there's just too much work, not enough people. So we expanded in order to get more content out. So, which, by the way, you were nice enough to offer up new intro and outro music, being you're getting back on that horse, right? So I'm happy to provide, let everybody hear your intro and outro music, you guys. Toriano's a experienced music producer. You know, I'll put some of his contact information up in his the blog post, and you're welcome to reach out to him and you know, give him some work, guys. He's been out of work for a while. He's getting back on his feet. You know, maybe you guys can make some beats together, right?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
Thank you, guys. You're literally a godsend. Literally a godsend. You know, because I've had nowhere to turn. And I know that my story is just one of billions of stories that's going on, at least hundreds of thousands of stories I'm learning. But, wow, I just can't believe it.
Well, I'm all about rehabilitating the small business owners, the entrepreneurs, the displaced artists that have been affected by this. And, you know, together we're an ocean, right, Toriana?
Yes.
Well, and that's the beautiful thing about music. Anybody who's involved in music knows it's just one big global family, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Well, and that's painful, too. I mean, it's painful to have something, I mean, you know, whether it's your small business, it's your art, to have something that you've put so much passion and time and monetary investment into, and to have it used against you like that, especially something like when it falls under the First Amendment, and you know that's a constitutional right, and you see the courts are getting all over it, it's infuriating, and you're sitting there, you know, and you can't do anything about it, and, you know, these courts are running like the wild, like some kind of bad combination of the Wild West show and Mean Girls Club. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yes, that is true. You know, so any parent listening to this, I just from my own personal ups and downs, I would say hold on, because help eventually will come, because I have been through all, as you can imagine, all types of emotions, sitting in a prison cell thinking maybe I should write a dead man's confession and just kill myself and write like, hey, all this happened, and then maybe somebody will listen. But I'm glad that I didn't do that, and I'm glad that I'm at this point now where people are listening and parents are coming together, because that they can't stop.
Well, and that's what this project is about, Toriano, is that it's not about father's rights, it's not about mother's rights, it's about child rights. Your daughter has a right to be raised with her father, her, and know her cultural background, her family legacy, and to be with her family and not be with strangers. I mean, that is an extreme situation. Like if mom and dad died in a car crash, it's an extreme situation. But under situations like this, there's no reason your daughter shouldn't be with you. And, you know, there's many parents who are being driven to the point of severe drug use to self-medicate and suicide, and they're just falling apart emotionally and mentally and physically. And I'm glad you held on, and I'm glad we connected, because you know what? This is, out of that great pain and rage comes great art, Toriano, and that's what you get to pay forward, and you get to be an advocate for others. And there is a huge bias against artists in these family courts, and it's important that you become an advocate, and any artist that we have in the future, it's somebody to talk to, because there's no support circles for what's going on. Nobody talks about it, and when it damages you so bad, everybody just hides under the covers, like, because it just violates your soul, and it breaks your parental pride. It hits you at such an internal core that people just hibernate. How, you know, it's bad.
Yes, that is true. That is really true. That's what I've been going through. Like I said, the ups and downs. They had a thing with mental health prescribing all these drugs that I'm not going to take. See, I'm not taking any of that stuff, Xanax and all that stuff, because I know that was just going to turn me into a problem. You know, so I don't take it. But they did prescribe me all that stuff. I just don't take it. I don't need to go speak to them, because
guess what? That's your mouth, and it's the First Amendment constitutional right. You can say what you want to, especially if it's the truth.
Yes. I've also, I contacted some of the government, Maxine Warren. She did nothing. I forgot the other lady. These people in government were claiming to help me, and they did absolutely nothing. I have letters from them that once they heard the case and they did their investigation and they found out that they have to go against their own government, they just completely shut me down.
See, and this makes me off, because if this was... Let's just change the scenario for a minute, okay? If your daughter was taken from a park, there would be Amber Alerts, the FBI would be involved, all hands on deck to go out and get this child and return him to the parent. But now when it's under these circumstances and it's government entities, all of a sudden nothing happens. And they just send letters and they drag out through that very crucial 12-month period of time. They drag it out. But guess what? Nobody wants a letter. They want their kid back. And we all know, but we all know missing persons, you have 72 hours to find that child. It is like, I mean, detectives stay up working 72 hours straight to find missing persons. Okay? And this child's missing. Has been missing for years. Was absolutely abducted.
Yes, has been missing for years. And the email that she sent me was literally heartbreaking because she was saying, "Dad, we have to talk in secret because if they find out that I'm talking to you, we will never speak again." And I have not heard from her since.
Well, that's going to change. Tomorrow we're getting on a conference call, and I feel like we need to maybe even bring in some other entities who focus on missing and exploited children. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because there's other kids that are missing in the system. So, and we do have a solution. We have some technology that we're building in order to keep track of these children in the system. And, you know, I just get frustrated because it's hard to get the funding to put that together. It's like $80,000, but we're working on it, Toriana. We're working on it. So because I choose to go, you know, after this money through developing media projects, it takes a little longer, but I'm hoping, you know, over the next 12 months, we'll be able to implement some kind of government accountability software to keep track of these children. We already have it. We're getting ready to announce that soon, but it's getting the reform bill in place and telling the government, here's all your failures. You have no choice but to do this, period. So stand by, America. Stand by parents who are missing kids.
That's beautiful. And to, as I said, I am now an advocate of this. Once this case comes out and sees any light of day, this city is going to be brought to its knees because they spoke openly in the paperwork. These are settled facts. The only reason that they have not settled was the cover-up. Once the cover-up is gone, everyone is going to write the check, and they're going to write my daughter check. So any amount of monetary that I can donate to this to save any other kids, I'm going to be there. They have a lifelong advocate in the staff, so no parent should go through this type of thing. With the people that we
Well, good. Then partner with me on developing the technology. We need a chunk of change. I'll meet you halfway.
Yes.
Definitely. Yep. See, whoop, whoop. Entrepreneurial spirit, my friend, is unbreakable. It's either winning DNA or you have it or you don't. And there's something about entrepreneurs, man. If you come at us, we will come back a thousandfold a year later because we just don't stay down. We come back stronger every time.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, the way that the entrepreneur's brain works is it's problem solving. So if you come at us, that's when our brain keeps right into problem solving. You know, so they really messed up, and it's the wrong brand.
Well, because part of being an entrepreneur is finding innovative solutions to problems. We don't run from problems. We chase the problems and solve them. That's part of our DNA.
Yes, that is the truth.
All right, Toriano.
Somebody referred me over to you. I'm so glad that I was able to meet with you. I'm glad that we were able to have this interview. And like I said, this case is going to be a big case. Once the word gets out, it's going to be shocking what happened. The whole state of California, I don't even live in California. Like I said, we have a restaurant here, but our residents were in Las Vegas. So for California to just take custody of my daughter and give it to a kidnapper is guilty.
Man, well, here's the thing. We're going to expedite your case, and, you know, we got some work to do tomorrow. But in the meantime, we're going to wrap this up. And, guys, just a reminder, you know, hit up Toriano. Throw him some music production work to help fund his restartup of his burger joint. And Knuckle Burger, right? And And, you know, and thank you, you know, for providing some beats for us. I was holding out for a musician that had been affected by this before implementing the new intro and outro music. And I'm so patient and glad I waited because I knew the time will always present itself. To everyone that's tuned in, thank you for joining us for this episode of Justice Speaks Up. And as always, thank you to all the artists that we use all of your work to express this online. And to all of our sponsors, thank you to the World Film Institute, to The Simple Life of Luxury, and to Soldier Fit.
This has been brought to you by Drown Rat Productions. Remember, we are everywhere and nowhere.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.